Now let's consider some of the debates over debt as they took place in the late 18th and early 19th centuries in Great Britain. Much of the British debt problem actually stemmed from war, so between 1688 and 1802, you have six different periods of war, and throughout those wars, basically debt keeps on rising and it doesn't fall. The British start trying to do something about this when William Pitt arrives in the prime ministership in 1783, and he holds office again starting in 1801. Note that by the time we get to 1783, interest payments are consuming about half of the revenue of the British government, the source here being listed below. The major problem was simply that as the Napoleonic Wars got underway, British debt rose even further. So across the time period 1803 to 1817, per capita British debt more than doubles, and again, this is largely due to wartime expense. And note, of course, that the taxing capacity of governments back then is quite limited by modern standards. Into this setting enter some of the classical economists. David Ricardo wrote extensively on these issues, and he also debated them when he was a member of Parliament. Ricardo's basic view is that he saw most government expenditure as wasteful. Ricardo was close to being a laissez-faire economist. Overall, he was suspicious of debt, and usually he favored tax finance rather than debt finance. He thought that tax finance would make citizens realize that they really do have to pay for larger government up front, and that this would help keep the size of government limited. Here's a typical quotation from Ricardo, and I quote, "When the pressure of war is felt at once, without mitigation, we shall be less disposed wantonly to engage in an expensive contest." Ricardo understood that raising taxes or cutting government spending to lower the debt could, in some models, damage aggregate demand, or as it was called back then, effective demand. But Ricardo tried to respond to this argument. It was not a worry for him. In his view, that raising taxes and paying off credit holders would essentially recycle that money back to wage earners, and he didn't think that aggregate demand would be a problem. The contrasting argument was made at the time by Malthus. Malthus thought that paying off the debt by taxes too rapidly would damage spending in the economy and also hurt what we moderns call aggregate demand, and for Malthus this would bring a business downturn and it was to be avoided. Another economist writing at the time, Lord Lauderdale, he agreed in his book, Inquiry into the Nature and Origin of Public Wealth. You may notice that the arguments made by Malthus back then are fairly similar to many of the arguments which Paul Krugman makes today, and the arguments made by David Ricardo back then are similar to some of the arguments which have come out of University of Chicago. One proposal of the time was something called a sinking fund. A sinking fund was a scheme for debt reduction. The idea was you would raise taxes. By raising taxes, you would move closer to a balanced budget. By moving closer to a balanced budget, you would economize on future interest payments on the debt. You would then take all the money you saved by economizing on those future interest payments and put that money in the fund and apply that fund toward balancing the budget even further, which would save on interest payments even more, and the purpose was to get the miracle of compound interest working in your favor, decreasing the level of indebtedness. The sinking fund idea had a long history. It was tried in practice a bit in the early 18th century by Walpole. It was then later promoted in the later 18th century by Richard Price, and there was even a version of a sinking fund idea adopted by Alexander Hamilton in the United States. Ricardo had a great deal to say about the sinking fund. If you look at Ricardo's theoretical writings, he was very much for the idea, because as mentioned, he was very opposed to indebtedness and favored moves toward a balanced budget. That said, if you look at Ricardo's career in Parliament, whenever he spoke about the sinking fund, he was highly suspicious of the notion. Again, he favored it in principle, but basically he feared that politicians would divert and misuse the money in the sinking fund, and that they would over time just really end up spending more. It was like giving them a big slush fund. Lord Lauderdale, by the way, very much opposed the sinking fund idea, again, because he was worried about the resulting effects on what we call aggregate demand. So, what eventually happened? Well, after the Napoleonic Wars, there was some very moderate amount of fiscal consolidation coming out of Great Britain. If you look at the longer time period, from 1814 to 1914, British debt fell by 25%. That's actually quite a small number, but keep in mind that relative to the size of the British economy, the British debt fell quite a bit. But what you can see is that most of the fiscal consolidation is really being done by economic growth, and not so much by an explicit campaign to pay off and limit the debt. If you'd like to compare what the British did to, say, what the French did, over that same 100-year period, French debt actually increased 27-fold. So in relative terms, you can think of the British as, during this period, being fairly fiscally conservative. For further reading, there's plenty on the debt in Ricardo's Principles and also Malthus's Principles, and see, of course, our videos on those two economists. Ricardo is writing most explicitly about the debt and the sinking fund idea in his essay on the funding system, which is online and free. There's some other good background readings, both on Ricardo and the debt debates of the time, given here. To continue with a few more useful references, here are two other articles with very good historical background. They're also on JSTOR, like the other articles mentioned on the previous slide. Online and free is this good piece by Woody Holton, which compares some of the 18th century debt debates to our current fiscal predicament.